NBC Monitor News on the Hour, brought to you by INA, Insurance Company of North America. Now here's Jim Rupert.
Results of two national public opinion polls were released today, one showing substantial backing for George McGovern's proposed defense spending cuts. The other said blacks prefer McGovern over President Nixon by a 4-1 margin. McGovern himself predicts a switch in public opinion that has heavily favored President Nixon. He told delegates to the Ohio Democratic Party convention in Cleveland he's reached a turning point in his campaign. He again accused President Nixon of hiding from the public. The president returned to Washington after 2 days of campaigning in Texas. He left San Antonio saying his economic policies have increased the purchasing power of the average production worker by $200. The Democrats have begun to intensify corruption as a campaign theme. That story after this word from INA.
For many years, many businesses in high crime areas have found it difficult to get insurance. And those who could get it have found it very expensive. That's changing now. Federal crime insurance is underwritten by the United States government, but it's administered by regular insurance companies. And INA, Insurance Company of North America, is one of the foremost. Through INA, small businessmen in high crime areas in Illinois, Pennsylvania, and Maryland can now get the economical crime insurance protection they need to stay in business. It's not something INA has to do, but we do it to help businesses, the people they employ, the people they serve, and the communities in which we live. Maybe it is something we have to do after all.
Once again, Jim Rupert.
McGovern campaign strategists expect the next 10 days to tell whether their candidate can beat President Nixon, and they do expect the polls to show gains. Much of the campaigning from now until Election Day will stress corruption in the current administration, as voiced today by Massachusetts Senator Edward Kennedy.
I wonder how all those small farmers in the heartland of this nation consider that grain deal. It's going to make tens of millions of dollars in profits to the special grain exporters. And yet the farmers haven't benefit. They benefit the grain exporters in various telephone calls, but not the farmers. Here you got ITT, the grain scandal. And what about that $10 million slush fund for political contributions? My friends, as George McGovern has pointed out, if that doesn't include contributions from the various special interests of this country, then they are the greatest group of political ingrates in the history of this nation.
Senator Kennedy spoke in Knoxville, Tennessee. Delegates to the United Nations General Assembly are now deciding whether to conduct a full debate on prevention of terrorism as requested by Secretary General Kurt Waldheim. A decision is not expected today. Earlier, member nations agreed to put off for 1 year debate on the status of Korea. And without a formal vote, the General Assembly decided to include on its agenda an application from Bangladesh for membership in the world body, an application vetoed by Red China last month. There were more shooting incidents in Northern Ireland today. Snipers shot a British soldier in the head in Belfast. The troops returned the fire and apparently wounded one of the gunmen. There was a similar incident in Londonderry with a soldier wounded. Both are in serious condition. Defense Secretary Melvin Laird has recommended that the three recently released American prisoners of war turn themselves over to the military as soon as possible, but he had no direct comment to some demands made by anti-war activists who secured their release. The demands include that the trio be flown home on a civilian flight and that they be given leave. The released POWs are still in Hanoi. They were due in Laos today, but never showed up. More news in a moment.
If you have a new car and you're in doubt about what brand of motor oil to use in it, remember this. Pennzoil not only meets, it exceeds the motor oil requirements of every new car manufacturer. That's because Pennzoil is quality all the way. Every drop of Pennzoil is made only from 100% pure Pennsylvania-grade crude oil. And you don't have to worry about an additive either, because Pennzoil contains its own special additive, Z7, blended into each can in exactly the right amount. When your car's worth caring for, Pennzoil is worth asking for.
Four parcel bombs mailed to Jordanian officials were intercepted in Amman this morning and defused. All had been postmarked in Amsterdam. Scotland Yard is checking reports that members of the Black September Arab terrorist organization are on their way to Dublin. Published reports in Great Britain say the guerrillas plan to use Dublin as a base for new attacks against Israelis. A Texas City, Texas woman held captive for 5 days by two men and a woman was released today. Mrs. Victoria Taylor was unharmed. A $25,000 ransom demanded by the woman's assailants was not paid. The FBI is still looking for the suspects. The hour's top story, two polls show George McGovern has considerable support in proposed defense spending reductions and popular support from blacks. Jim Rupert, NBC News.
Good afternoon. This is Charles McCord, WNBC News, at 65 degrees at 5 minutes past 5 o'clock. Dr. Benjamin Spock, the presidential candidate of the People's Party, went to Fort Dix, New Jersey, expecting some sort of trouble today, and he found it. Spock wanted to campaign among Fort Dix soldiers. The military officials there warned him beforehand, though, that he would not be permitted to enter the base, and he wasn't. Spock was met at the entrance to the post by Army brass, including Post Commander General Bert David, who said it was against Army regs to permit military personnel to participate in campaigns or appear at political rallies in uniform. Well, Spock's forces countered, citing a Supreme Court decision which allowed political campaigning on non-restricted bases such as Fort Dix. Stalemate. Neither side budged for a time. Finally, Spock's people gave in, but said they would file suit against the base commander next week. New York City's new special prosecutor, Maurice Najjari, says the city's criminal justice system does seem to have some rot in it, adding in order to eradicate it, some procedures employed in the past are going to have to be changed. Najjari is the man appointed by Governor Rockefeller to supersede local district attorneys in cases of official corruption. That fact has provoked some strong opposition among the city's five DAs who would rather handle the job themselves, and they have reportedly considered taking the Najjari appointment to court to test its constitutionality. The Right Reverend Paul Moore, Jr. was installed today as the 13th Episcopal Bishop of New York in elaborate and colorful ceremonies at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. A congregation of some 400, including representatives from the diocese's 200 parishes, clergymen of other faiths, and prominent politicians, attended the ceremonies. In his installation address, Bishop Moore warned of the doom of New York City and surrounding area unless the urgent urban issues of the day are resolved. Bishop Moore said he believed a concerted and united effort on the local and metropolitan level could tip the balance in a positive direction. Homicide detectives still working to sort out the circumstances of that double murder discovered this morning. Two men, both dressed in work clothes, found sprawled on an unpaved road in a sparsely inhabited section of Howard Beach, Queens. Both had been shot twice in the head, robbery ruled out as both had cash in their pockets. Police at this point do not believe the slayings are connected to the recent purge that has riddled the ranks of New York City's underworld.
You don't need buses or trains to tour the world. Somebody to tour the world.
There's Bill Cullen. Without rocket plane, bus or train, who needs them on a weekend like this? My one roller skate's enough for me. This is the kind of weekend you'd like to settle down to a little steady loafing, isn't it? Okay, we've got the listening to go with that, starting with this, the gallery, and I Believe in Music.
I could just sit around making music all day long. As long as I'm making my music, ain't gonna do nobody no harm. And who knows, maybe I'll come up with a song to make people wanna stop all the fussing and fighting long enough to sing along. Believe in music, oh, I believe in love, and I believe in music, oh, I believe in love. Music is love and love is music, if you know what I mean. People who believe in music are the happiest people I've ever seen. So clap your hands and stomp your feet and shake your tambourine and lift your voices to the sky. Tell me what you see. Hey, I believe in music. Oh, I believe in love. I believe in music. Oh, I believe in love.
Thank you. love is the key to peace, hope, and understanding, and living in harmony. So grab your brother by the hand and sing along with me, and lift your voices to the sky. Tell me what you see. I believe in music. Oh, I believe in love. I believe in music. Oh,
next World of Music brought to you by your Baldwin dealer, who now has a brand new line of Baldwin home organs. This is Bill Cullen, and my guest is Bobby Short right after this.
Baldwin announces 3 brand new, easier than ever to play home organs, and priced lower than ever too. The Interlude, the Bravo, and the Encore. All jam-packed with fun. All give you automatic rhythms, including waltz, foxtrot, Latin, even rock. And you can get the new Encore with the fantastic Phantom Fingers. Hold a chord, and the organ plays runs up and down the keyboard automatically. And they can be equipped with cassettes. Insert a tape, get an organ lesson right there at the organ. Even if you know nothing about music, in just a matter of days, you'll be playing popular songs and having the time of your life. See them at your Baldwin dealers now, if you really want to have some fun.
Why don't you buy an organ of Baldwin? We sell fun.
Well, Bobby Short spends a lot of time singing and playing piano in some of the most luxurious cafes and hotels in the world. Bobby, last year you wrote a book called Black and White Baby, and I'd guess that Danville, Illinois, didn't have many places like, say, the Carlisle Hotel in New York City. What was Danville like when you were a kid there?
It hasn't changed very much, really, Bill. I was there just a few weeks ago. Danville had 33,000 people when I was born, and I think now it's about 44,000.
Uh-huh.
And that was a number of years ago, you see. Danville's a nice little town. It's quite attractive.
When you were a boy there, were there racial tensions in Danville?
Well, there were racial problems, but not tensions, because we, as Negroes, were only about 10% of the entire population. So we were no threat, and consequently we were no great problem. For instance, our schools were totally integrated.
How about prejudice?
As it were. Oh, prejudice, of course. As today, as tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Of all sorts, in every walk of life. But give and take, I think Danville was perhaps the best of all possible worlds for a Negro of my generation.
What were the theaters like there?
Well, we had several movie houses. Funnily enough, the two big houses, the Fisher and the Palace, they're still there, played first-run films, vaudeville about once a month for 2 or 3 days at a time.
Right.
And there's an example of segregation. Negroes were asked to sit in the balcony of those theaters.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. And then in the other theaters, we couldn't go at all. Those things all vanished with the wind. They just went away. Without a big to-do, no demonstrations, they just stopped one day.
When did you start playing the piano, Bobby?
When I was about 4 years old.
4 years old?
Oh, yes.
And when did you get professionally interested in it? When did you start making a buck?
Well, when I found out I could make a buck at it, which was when I was 10 years old or so, I started making a buck at it. Those were depression years, you know, and my mother, while she was protective, was also very proud. And being a country lady, when I began to be 15 years old and showed signs of being totally grown up, by virtue of the fact that I could earn a living for myself, I think she was doubly proud, because there in her family, being a widow, was a male child who had gone out and had struck oil, as it were.
Did you ever perform in some of those Danville theaters? Or
I performed the
where you couldn't go as a
member of the audience? I performed in the Danville dives, believe me.
In other words, you were really a saloon singer in the sense of the word then.
And, of course, Negroes weren't allowed in those places at all, and I went in because I was a star. I was the wunderkind of Danville.
In other words, you were the star right up there before the very people among whom you could not sit as a child. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, of course.
So I was going to ask what some of the satisfactions are of being a performer. Aside from that, are there any others, Bobby?
Well, I don't know. I think that basically a performer, if he's a performer, and that is just that, can do such a service for other people. I mean, people come to the Carlisle because they want to get their minds off something else. The entertainer does serve, if he's a good entertainer, to make the whole thing easier. I've never given lip service to politics or groups or whatever, because I just don't think that entertainers should be involved in those things.
Uh-huh.
For me, I'm a piano player and singer.
My guest has been Bobby Short. Now this final word from Baldwin.
Baldwin announces 3 brand new, easier than ever to play home organs. All just jam-packed with fun. One is available with phantom fingers. Hold a chord and the organ plays runs up and down the keyboard automatically. Want some fun?
Why don't you buy an organ of Baldwin? We sell fun.
See and hear all the new easy-to-play Baldwin organs now at your Baldwin dealer. He sells fun. Listen for more musical celebrities on Baldwin's World of Music throughout the weekend on Monitor.
Think of your fellow man, lend him a helping hand, put a little love in your heart. You see it's getting late, oh please don't hesitate, put a little love in your heart.
It's Jackie DeShannon with Put a Little Love in Your Heart. And remember, you heard it on the Monitor Beacon. Something for tomorrow, we hope. Beautiful Sunday. Daniel Boone is back to singing.
Sunday morning, up with the lark. I think I'll take a walk in the park. Hey, 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 it's a beautiful day. I've got someone waiting for me. When I see
what you'll say. Hey, 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 it's a beautiful day. Ha, 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 beautiful Sunday. This is my, my, my beautiful day. When you say, 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 say that you love me. Oh, my, 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 it's a beautiful day. Birds are singing, you're by my side. Let's take the car and go for a ride. Hey, 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 it's a beautiful day. We'll dive on and follow the sun, making Sunday go on and on. Hey, 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 it's a beautiful day.
Monitor Sports focuses on golf now with Len Dillon. He interviews James A. Lennon.
Jim is president of the International Golf Association. I wondered if you'd tell us about the 20th annual World Cup golf matches.
We're holding the next tournament, November 8th to 12th, at the Royal Melbourne Golf Club in Melbourne, Australia, as guests there of the Australian Golf Association. Our team is going to be very capable young performers, Tom Weisskopf and Jim Jameson. They're two new faces in Australia, and ourselves are very excited about them.
Now, let me ask you, do you have in your World Cup golf matches, do you have anybody from behind the Iron Curtain?
Yes, we have two countries being represented this year, and they have been represented since about one since 1965 and the other since 1969. The one since 1965 is Czechoslovakia. They have, in Czechoslovakia, 2 9-hole courses, holdovers from before World War II. And these they send every year 2 amateurs to play in the World Cup. Romania is the other country that sends a team. At various times they come, and a couple times they have not come. Sometimes they have difficulty getting exit visas.
Jim, do you ever ask Russia?
Yes, we've asked Russia, but Russia has no golf courses and no golfers. And I hope that the Russians will take the same attitude towards golf that, for example, they've taken so successfully about hockey.
Now, there is a charity aspect to this, is there not?
Yes, there is. The proceeds, in every case, are given to local charities in the country which the tournament's played. All the expenses incurred by the International Golf Association, including getting the players to the country in which they're going to play, are paid for by the sponsoring organizations, and no money from any source comes to us, to those sponsoring organizations at all. It's all outgo in the name of international relations.
Jim, what about next year's tournament? Now, that sounds perhaps like a silly question because this one hasn't been played yet, but how do you go about picking the host country?
That's a difficult job because many countries want this tournament. You try and spread it around the world. You try and hit various areas of the world. For example, next year it will be held in Spain. And I think the Spaniards are going to want to play it in Barcelona rather than in Madrid this time. They played the IGA once in Madrid, but earlier in the year. And the dates that we have worked out are the same weekend this year, and Barcelona evidently is quite a bit warmer.
Now the United States has won the team title, I believe, 10 times individually, 8 times. Nicholas, of course, the defending champion, is not going to be there. Who would be the toughest competitor, not only team-wise or country-wise, but individually for the United States? Nicholas won't be defending, so we have no defending champion.
Well, I rather think that we've got two of the half dozen best, and the fact that they're playing each for the first time, representing their country in this event for the first time, should be a great incentive to have each one of them do extremely well, and they are terribly enthusiastic about this opportunity.
Young and eager.
Young and eager is right.
James A. Lennon, president of the International Golf Association, I thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
Len Dillon for Monitor Sports.
Here you are. Big-time golf played for big-time money. Here's the main ingredient. Everybody plays the fool.
The main ingredient with Everybody Plays the Fool. An elephant in the news this week, I'll tell you, he didn't play the fool. In Kuala Lumpur, 100 farmers lost a tug of war with him at a market fair. Actually, I'm happy about that. I mean, just when man gets to thinking he's really running the world, an elephant puts 100 of them in his place.
This is Monitor on NBC. Gordon Staples in the background with Strung Out. We're not. We're going to pause now for all NBC stations to identify, and we'll be back. If you're listening to us in Bakersfield, California, you hear us over KGEE. Monitor for California. Back after we take a short time out.
Staples and the string thing with Strung Out. Bill Cullen and the Monitor thing back after assorted sounds and voices take over here.